Last week we spoke about Abraham, and we spoke about the relationship that he had with God and how God called him his friend. And you know what? There are so many people throughout the Bible that we can speak about, okay? So many people that we can mention that had just this ridiculous, amazing relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God himself. And last week we spoke about Abraham. And if you remember anything about it, for those of you who are here, Abraham was the man that God called his friend. He is the only person in the Bible when God speaks, he said that it was credited to him as righteousness, his faith was, and he was called God's friend. That's what it said. He was called God's friend. And I just want to give a quick recap about what it was about. God visited Abraham many times, and he is the father of the three biggest religions, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. God visited Abraham so much, and he gave him promises. He says, your descendants will be like the stars in the heavens, and the grains of sand, and the beach, and the oceans. And the Lord just gave him so many promises, and he loved Abraham so much. But why? Because Abraham, when God visited him, he was always open, and he was always welcoming to God. And he always, when God visited him, I give the example when the three angels came and visited him and told his wife Sarah that she was going to be pregnant. I gave that example and how when he saw the three angels come, he flipped and he was like, oh my God, I got to go prepare the best food. He did a bunch of things. And it was just the angels of God. It wasn't even God himself. It wasn't even the Holy Spirit. And I fast forwarded and I said, he didn't even have the Holy Spirit living inside of him. But you, if you accepted Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And that Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus, the Bible says, living within you. Because he left, Jesus left, but he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will send the Holy Spirit to you, and he will live in you and will be with you. So you now have the Holy Spirit. You have God living within you. So Abraham honored God so much, and he welcomed God so much when he visited him, and he didn't even have the Holy Spirit living in him. He didn't even have God. How much more should we, when we have God living with us? How much more should we honor God? How much more should we love God? How much more should we be his friends? Because all these people that I'm going to speak about another general of God in the Old Testament, another great man of God, they didn't even have God living within them, and they had amazing relationships. Imagine how far you can go with God living within you. If you think about it, that's amazing. Because God now lives within you, and he lives in you through the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak to you today about Moses. And it's funny because we spoke about this on Sunday with Amy, and so it was like the exact same message. So that was awesome. I don't mean to copy, but there was just a word that God gave me, and God gave her. It's called Face to Face. That's what the name of it is. And it's the story of Moses. And I'm just going to recap. Just give a little background on Moses and just go to the part that we all want to hear. The word that God wants you to hear tonight. I just want to say this. The Lord is seeking friends in the crowd tonight. And the dove in the story of Noah flew out of the ark when the rain had stopped and the flood was still going. It flew out and it came back to him because there was nowhere to land. But when he released it again, it never came back because it had found a resting place. And tonight, the dove of the Spirit is flying over the congregation tonight, and he's seeking believers who are willing to lay it all down and become hosts of his presence. Okay? I just want to recap on Noah. On Noah tonight. Noah, as you know, was a man full of God, and the earth was destroyed, and he let the dove go from the ark. And the dove flew around. It had nowhere to land. It was just water. So it flew back to him. And then he released it a second time. And it flew out. And then a neighbor came back because it found a resting place. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a dove because it came upon Jesus like a dove, in the form of a dove. And so that has such a symbolic meaning that God is going out between all you guys. Jesus said, well, there's two or three of you gathered. I am there with them. And there's more than two or three of us here tonight, right? So God is amongst us tonight. And you have to welcome him into your life. And he says that he is walking. God told me this to tell you. That he is walking amongst you guys tonight. And he is seeking somewhere for the dove of the Spirit to land. So it can never come back. He wants to release it. And he doesn't want it back. Because he has it without limits. but he wants to release his presence upon you and for it to stay upon you. How many of you guys want that in your lives? That the Spirit of God just be released upon your lives and that it never comes, it just rests upon you forever. How many of you guys can say amen to that? How many of you guys can say, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want God to just fly out over me and never come back to it because I just want to find a resting place in my life. I want to be a host. You know when you welcome someone in your life, you welcome someone in your home, you're the host, and you serve them, or you're supposed to, you're good to be a host. You serve them, and you love on them, and not too much, but you love on them, and you know, all these things, depending on the level of relationship. But with God, it's all the way, man. It's even more intimate than with your wife or your husband. It's God. So you love on them with everything, and you give them the best you have because you are not hosting his presence. You're not hosting him in your life. And so I want to talk to you about Moses. That was a little bit about Noah, now Moses. Moses was a Hebrew that by the grace of God was saved and put in high places in the Egyptian royalty. Okay? If y'all know, I don't mean to preach to the crowd, to the choir here, but I just want to recap. This is very important. And there may be some of us who don't know about Moses. Moses, as many people know, was rescued as a baby, put in the Nile River because the king wanted to kill all the Hebrew babies because he didn't want any of them to rise up against him. So he was saved by God and was put in the river by his sister and his mother, and God just told him to do it. So they just let him go. And he was rescued by the princess of Egypt. And he was now made a prince in Egypt. And by the grace of God, he was a Hebrew living as a prince in the highest royalty of the world in that time. And he grew up to be about 40 years old. Okay? The life of Moses, we can divide it into three sections of 40. Okay? The first 40, he lived in Egypt, and he thought he was an Egyptian. And so the news was broken out to him that, no, you're a Hebrew. That's kind of like that's a big fall. Imagine you think, yeah, like I'm the son, or the grandson, I think he was of the Pharaoh. And then all of a sudden you're like, no, I'm a Hebrew. I'm actually, my people are the slaves that are working for him. You know? That's a big, big down. Sometimes we think that we are just the best people in the world. We're just like, oh, yeah, all these things. But then we realize, hey, we're a sinner like everybody else. We're a sinner like everybody else. And that sometimes is a big downer. But it's the grace of God that comes into play at that moment. And he realized that he was a sinner. And as you know, he messed up. Moses accidentally killed an Egyptian soldier because while he was defending a Hebrew, he accidentally killed him. And he killed the Egyptian, and Pharaoh was mad. And he said, get Moses, and Moses fled. And he ran into the desert, and he hid there in Midian for 40 years. That's the second 40 years. And he got married, and so forth. He got married with his, obviously, his wife. And, you know, he had children, and Jethro, his father-in-law, was a priest of Midian, and all these things just happened. He went from being a prince to being a shepherd. That's a big fall. Being a prince to being a shepherd. How big of a fall do you think that got you? It's like you just being such a high-class person in this society, and then all of a sudden you start working, you know, in the lowest places. You know, that's a big, big fall. You went to be an ordinary man in the middle of the desert who nobody knew, nobody honored, nobody respected. That's a big thing. Well, people in Egypt honored and respected him. And if he wanted somebody killed, that person would die. And if he wanted whatever he wanted, it was given to him because he was the grandson of the greatest man on earth at that moment, which was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And one day, the God of the Hebrews, the God of what would later become the Jews, the God of Israel, was then manifested to Moses. He came and he showed himself to Moses in one of the most radical ways possible. One of the most radical ways possible. In a burning bush. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know maybe you've seen some trees burn, right? If you've ever seen something burn, it usually consumes, right? That's the whole point. You know, it consumes. If you've ever seen fire logs, it's supposed to get consumed. That's the point. Well, the Bible says that this fire was just burning on this bush, on this tree, and it never burned. Okay? And so I want you guys, we're going to read a lot in the book of Exodus. Okay? So I want you guys to go to the book of Exodus. Okay? So if you guys write your Bible, go to the book of Exodus. And I want you to read from the book of Exodus. Okay? We're going to Exodus chapter 3. I usually, when I preach, I just usually maybe say a verse or a passage, one and, or maybe another one, and then I just go from there. But in this one, I kind of have some things because I want you guys to really understand. And remember, we're speaking about, this whole series that we're speaking about is your relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God Himself through the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's exactly what we're speaking about because we want you to have your own relationship with God. So Exodus chapter 3, 1 through 6, we're going to read. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock of sheep, to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over there and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? Then the Lord, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham. Remember Abraham? We spoke about him last week. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, which is Abraham's son, and the God of Jacob, which is his grandson. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, we're going to stop there. We're going to go to verse 11 and 12. It says, after God talked to Moses, he told him to go to Egypt and then to free the people. And then it says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Then God said, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who am I sending, who I am sending. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. We're going to stop there for now. God appears to Moses. And Moses freaked out, man. He freaked. And he was like, he couldn't even see God. Like, I mean, he covered his face. He said, I can't do this. This is too much. And when God gave him his orders, he said, this is what you're going to do. I have chosen you to go and free my people. And that part that we skipped, I'm just giving a little brief summary of it. It says, I heard the cries of my people in Egypt. And I'm sending you to go to them. And you rescue them out of there and bring them out to the land that I will show you. And Moses said, who am I, God, that you would choose me? Who am I that you're going to choose me to go before the Pharaoh of Egypt? It's like saying, who am I that you're going to send me to go speak to President Obama or speak to whoever, man, whoever that it is, but that has the power to just say, I don't like you, you're dead. Like, I know that this time you can't really do that. I mean, certain parts of the country you can. But it's like going to a dictator and just saying, I don't like what you're doing to these people, let them go. They're going to laugh in your face and kick you out. They're probably throw you in jail. And Moses says, who am I that I can go before the Pharaoh of Egypt, the king of Egypt, and do these things? And God said, I will go with you. I will go with you. I will go with you. My presence will go with you. And so Moses goes back to Egypt. He does amazing things. If you have the time, read it at home. Keep reading it in Exodus. He did amazing things. He freed the people out after a long struggle. They were slaves for 420 years. 420 years as slaves in Egypt. They were finally freed by God. God took them. And then, I want you to go to Exodus 33. Then Moses built this relationship with God. He started being the prophet of God. And God spoke to him and he would speak to the people. God spoke to him and he would speak to the people. He was the one that carried the law. He was the one that carried the presence of God. And the people honored Moses and they loved Moses. And though they were sometimes really rebellious, God still loved his people. And Moses built such a relationship with God, such connection with God, that he was able to build up the confidence to ask the following. It's Exodus 33:11. I'm just going to hit something real quick. And it says, listen to this. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. As I'm speaking to you right now, because you guys are my friends, I hope, right? As I speak to you right now, that's the way God spoke to Moses. Isn't that just incredible? Doesn't that blow your mind? That's the way God spoke to him. And they will dialogue. Like, you can read this, man. They will talk back and forth. That's the relationship that he had. He talked to him as a man speaks to his friend. Then we're going to go on. He built the courage to say this. Go to verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 22. This whole section. So bear with me, okay? But it's just soak yourself in this and just imagine this. He's on top of a mountain. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.'" Imagine if God says that, and he does know you by name, and you have found favor with him, because you're here today, and he's called you into his family. Verse 13, "If you are so pleased with me," Moses is telling God, "if you're so pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation, Israel, is your people." The Lord replied to Moses, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, man, look at this dialogue. Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up out of here. Do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me from your people, will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." And then Moses built up the courage and had the confidence to ask the following. He said, and Moses said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on the rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft and in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face does not be shown." And these times, nobody could see God and live, because they were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were not covered by the sacrifice of Jesus. They were still full of sin, just as we are. But God paid, Jesus paid our sins with his death, so that we can now come to God with confidence, the Bible says. We may go to his throne with confidence. How many of you guys are excited about that? How many of you guys say amen? I just want to hear amen. How many of us can go? We can go before God with confidence, knowing that we can be with him and we can talk to him and he can love on us and we can love on him, and he loves that and he desires it, and we all want that same thing because he wants us more. This is just diary. It doesn't matter. You guys can hear me, right?
Yes.
That's what God desires for your life and for my life. God desires for you to know him intimately. God desires for you to know him with all your heart, and he desires to reveal his very heart to you, so that you can be just like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can make you like Jesus. He's the only one that can make you like Jesus. And then in chapter 34, verse 29, it says, this talks about the shining face of Moses. The shining face of Moses. And I'm gonna explain to you what it's about. Listen to this. Verse 29, it says, "When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with his two tablets of the covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord." His face was literally shining because he had spoken with God. His face was shining because he had been in the presence of God. And you know what? God desires to reflect in your attitude and your character and your being. It only happens when you go into his presence and you spend time with him. It only happens when you get down on your knees and you pray in alone with him. Whenever you go and you have this communication with him daily, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at the store, when you're at home, wherever you are, he desires that and he longs for that. And he doesn't need it, but he wants it. But you need it.
and you have to want it. The presence of God is only given to you because of desire. The presence of God is only given to you when you are obsessed with it. And when you realize that there's nothing on this earth that is worth more than the presence of God. When you realize that there's nothing in this earth that is more valuable than God Himself, than the relationship with the Holy Spirit. That, when you get to that point, then God will reveal Himself completely to you. And He will make you start walking in His ways. And He will show you His glory. And your face will shine like Moses did. But because you have seen Jesus, and because you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, and because you are His friend, just like Abraham, and just like Moses was. And I want to just fast forward all the way to the time of Jesus. And you don't have to look this up, but I'm going to read it to you. This is, if you want to look it up, that's great. But if you don't, that's cool. Just listen. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 3 says, let me get to it real quick. 1 through 3, the transfiguration. Maybe you've heard about this before. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, John, the brother of James, and led them to on a high mountain by themselves. Jesus took his 3 disciples, he had 12, but he chose 3, and he took them with him to the high mountain by themselves. Then he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. This is Jesus we're talking about. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Moses and the prophet Elijah, which come after Moses, shone before Jesus and talked with him. Moses said, "Show me your glory." And Moses was not able to go into Israel because he messed up and God didn't let him go into Israel, into the promised land. He just wanted to go into Israel and he wanted to see his glory. And he didn't do neither one while he was living. But Jesus says, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So Moses appeared before Jesus on the mountain and he saw Jesus. And so because he saw Jesus, he saw the Father, and he was able to step foot in the promised land. So thousands of years later, after he was dead, his request was fulfilled. The request that he asked, "Show me your glory," and then he wants to go into the promised land, was not given to him while he was alive. But then later on, it was. He was able to see his face. He was able to see the glory of God. And he was able to step into the land which he worked so hard to get to. And now, I want to ask you this. What about you? This is the important part. Moses said, "Who am I that I can go before Pharaoh?" And you may think, "God, who am I?" Because the truth is that none of us here are worthy to be called by God. And that's the truth. Nobody here is worthy enough to be called by God. But God says, "I call you and I commission you to go out and do the things that I have done." And Jesus says, "And they will do the same things that I did and even greater things than these." And even greater things than the things that Jesus did. If you read the Bible and you see the things that Jesus did, God said, "You can do even greater things than that." Because you will have the Holy Spirit in you, and He will walk over you, and He will walk with you wherever you go. But that is only accomplished through a relationship with God. Through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Those of you who are in relationships, how many of you are in a relationship? Married, engaged, dating, whatever. How many of you are? Okay. When you love someone, you do whatever you can to show them that you love them, right? You do whatever you can. And even those who aren't in a relationship can't understand this part. You can do whatever you can to please them and to love them and to show them that you love them, right? That's at least what you should do. That's what you do. In the same way, it's not a sacrifice for us to give up everything we are because we love God with all of our hearts. All on my heart. And so I surrender everything that I am before Him, and I do everything I can to please Him and to love Him so that He can look upon me and say, "Yes, I approve of your life." And the thing is that if you please God or not, Jesus still loves you the same. I'll tell you that. It doesn't matter who it is, God loves everybody the same. And the Bible says God has no favorites. Everybody is the same before His eyes. He loves everybody the same. But then there is the presence of God over your life. That depends on you. There is not just a calling for some people, and other people are left behind. That's not how this works, guys. It's not just a calling for pastors, or for prophets, or for evangelists, or for apostles, or for teachers, or for whoever. It's not just a calling for them, and you're not just meant to be sitting there all the time. It's a calling for every single one of you. If you want it, come get it. That's what God is saying to you. If you want it, come get it. I'm going to tell you something. You guys see me up here right now. And that didn't mean anything more than everybody who was ever back there. It didn't mean anything at all. I'll tell you that. But you want to know something? I'm in the same position you guys are in. I started up in the same position you guys are in. But you know what? I'm going to speak to you out of my own personal experience. Because that's all I can teach you. I just knew that nothing in this life was worth it. That nothing in this life, everything that I saw at such an early age, I saw that everything in this life, nothing of it had value. Everything was going to die, go away. Everything was going to disappear. And I knew that the only thing that was going to survive was my relationship with God. And so I invested everything that I had into. And I surrendered everything that I am to His feet. Because you can invest all you want on your career, but you can lose it the next day. You can invest everything you have to whatever, man. And I'm not saying you be dedicated to it. Be dedicated to it. But the primary focus of your life, the center of it all, should be the presence of God. Because Israel hovered around the presence of God. Israel hovered around the tabernacle. They did not hover around the Torah, or the law, or what we would call the Bible. They didn't hover themselves around the people. They hovered themselves around the tabernacle where God rested. When they were in the wilderness, they put their camp around the tabernacle, the presence. And when it moved, they moved. They didn't move until God, come on, let's go. No, they moved only when it moved. So we move only when God moves. Because Moses told God, if your presence does not go with us, do not take us anywhere. Because he knew the value of the presence of God. He knew that if he would go somewhere and God wasn't with him, it wasn't going to work out. And he said, come with us, because if not, how will all the other nations know that we are different? And I tell you the same. How will people in your job know that you're different? How will people at your school know that you're different? How will they know that you're different? They will only know that you're different if God goes with you. If God goes with you to school, if God goes with you to work, if He goes with you to the store, to your family reunion, wherever you go, if He goes with you, then everybody else will know that you are different. And that you have something within you that they need, which is the salvation of God. And that you have something within you that is valuable, which is Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. When you have the opportunity to give it to them. But how will they know? Only if God goes with you. Only if God goes with you. There's no other way, guys. No other way. And when you get to that point where you realize that God is all you have and God is all you need, then He will show you His glory and His face will shine down upon you. How many of you guys understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Amen.
Or how many think I understand what God is trying to tell you? Amen. So I don't know how many of you desire that for your lives. How many of you desire to have this hunger for God? And to say, God, I need you more than anything else. God, I need you more than anything. I need you more than the next heartbeat. I need you more than my next breath. I need you more than anything, God. I need you more than anything that I have. How many of you guys can truly say that and say, God, I need you more than anything? Because when you need God more than anything, then He becomes everything you need. And He becomes the oxygen in your lungs. He becomes the oxygen in your lungs. So I want you to rise to your feet.